Feeling better, looking better, making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Radio Show, everyone. I'm Byron White here with Michael Bergdahl. Michael, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Love to chat with you today about expectations and hiring our expectations, about ourselves, our lives, and everything. But tell me a little bit, if you could, about your speaking background. I know you're a professional speaker. Tell us about that.
Well, I speak quite literally all over the world. I've spoken on 6 continents, and I set a goal years ago, part of my high expectations, to become an international speaker, and that's exactly what I have become. And my focus in my speeches is how to compete and thrive in a Walmart world, believe it or not.
You worked at Walmart as a director of people for a little while. Tell us about directing people at Walmart.
Well, it's interesting. I was fortunate to have the opportunity to work with the founder of Walmart, Sam Walton. And Sam Walton didn't like the title human resources for whatever reason. He just didn't like that title. So he called his HR division the people division. And I was fortunate enough to get the chance to be Sam Walton's people division director, and which gave me a chance to work with Sam Walton many times a week about issues relating to people.
Interesting. And so much to talk about with even that name, Sam Walton, as it pops in my brain. I mean, really interesting individual and iconic figure in the business world. But tell me a little bit about being a director of people. And I find that title kind of interesting, actually, director of people. Part of me doesn't like that title, to be honest. I don't want to be directed if I'm a person. But tell me how you balance that in a lovely way.
Well, it's funny. Sam Walton used to say to me that he wished he didn't need me in the role of director of people because he thought it was every manager's job to be a human resources professional or a director of people in their own right. And in this role, Sam wanted to have the relationships with the people at Walmart to be a partnership. He didn't want it to be, big-time managers looking down at employees who are slaving away. In the days of Sam Walton, he treated his people as equals. And I can't speak to how they do things today, but I can tell you that was his standard. And the masses there at Walmart, there's 2.5 million employees at Walmart today, 2.5 million employees. And those that had a chance to know Sam Walton absolutely loved the man.
Why is it critical in your mind to have high expectations as we battle through the challenges of the world?
Well, I think what's funny is if you look at people and their failings in life, many times you can point back to the fact not that they set their goals too high, but that in reality, they set their goals too low. And high expectations are the key to everything, is quite literal. It doesn't mean you have high expectations for some things, many things, a lot of things. It's high expectations are the key to everything. And those who focus and set their goals extremely high will outperform their peers. And what happens in life, in my estimation, is we often use our peers as or the people around us that are closest to us as our standard of comparison. The unfortunate thing about that is that's as far from high expectations as you can get, because you're comparing yourself to what I call the herd average, because the people around you are average people. So when you do that, you become a really strong average performer, which doesn't lead you to excellence.
Thank you. maybe it's me, but I feel like there's a certain type of breed of people, if you will, that are overachievers seemingly at everything they do. Do they have that high expectation element that is a DNA element? Is it something inside of them, or can you in fact foster this attitude?
Well, you know, that's a great question. If you look at and use sports, because it's easy for us to point to the greatest sports heroes that are out there, and in their peer group, the great Michael Jordans of the world, the great football players, the great baseball players, they're not 100% better than their professional peers. In all likelihood, they're only 5 or 10% better than their peers. And you know, do they have God-given skills? Absolutely. But so do their peers, who are average. And I think the key to high expectations is giving that extra effort, giving that extra 5% or 10%. And it's not just in athletics. It holds true in school. It holds true in jobs in government. It holds true in sales and marketing. If you will just give 5 or 10% more effort than your peers, you're achieving the goal of the standard of high expectations. You will outperform the pack.
Hmm. Performance is one measurement for success, right? But there are other gifts that people have that must figure into performance. Don't you agree with that? And tell
Absolutely.
Us more about it.
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt about that. You know, if when you're laying on your deathbed, you're not going to wish that you'd spent more time at work. You have many other things you wish you would have done with your life, mm-hmm. including spending more time with your family, being a better father, being a better spouse, but achieving many goals on the personal side. I know in my case, my greatest successes have come as a result of some of the greatest adversity that I've faced in my life. Good things have come out of bad situations. And today I'm a better person for having faced adversity, not only on the professional side with my performance in my work, but also as a father and as a parent and as a spouse. So my goals are more balanced than they have ever been in my life, and there's specific reasons for that.
Hmm. I love your acronym here, HEAT, KTE, although I wish you had some other spelling of KTE, so it would be like HEAT kite or something. I don't know. But it stands for high expectations are the key to everything. You know, I get this concept of expectations, but how do you apply it to everything? You know, weight loss, you know, balancing life, personal life and business life, you know, achieving dreams, you know, does it really apply to everything? And if so, how?
Well, you know, in my own life, the term, by the way, is Hetkati. And Hetkati is a pseudo-American Indian word, which stands for high expectations are the key to everything. And I learned that from Sam Walton. Hetkati was an acronym that he used to actually teach his employees to perform at the highest levels. And as an example, one of the simple examples Sam would use is, as a supervisor, if you give a directive to an employee and you give a second directive to the same employee, you're likely to get a response from the employee. Which one of these two do you want me to do? And Sam taught his managers to answer that question, both. And he would not let people off the hook and lower the performance bar to the level of excuses, to be honest. And he taught his managers to hold people to a higher standard in everything that they did. Huh. And that's what I've done in my personal life with my weight loss goals and with my goals for my family, and I'd be happy to share some of that information with you also.
Hmm. I want to hear that, but I have a difficult question for you, and that is the following. If we raise our expectations and we don't hit our goals, is it cause you know, sadness and depression and unhappiness with our own personal performance?
That's interesting. You know, I have an example from my own life I can use for that. I am a writer, and I've written 6 books. My first book was a dismal, and I repeat, a dismal failure. I didn't understand how to write a book. I didn't understand how to identify a target market. I didn't understand book marketing. And I had a literary agent, and we could not sell my first book, and it failed. It never did get published. And I was at a crossroads at that point saying, you know, where do I go from here? And I ended up, as a result of some personal circumstances, writing a second book. And just imagine for a second, you've written your first book, 100,000 words, and taken 6 months out of your life and failed. The last thing you ever want to do is pick up, so to speak, a pencil again and start writing. But what I did is I refocused, I came up with a new goal, I had to believe in myself, and I wrote this second book, which ended up getting published and is now in 10 languages around the world, and it was highly successful. So my answer to those who have failed or fallen on their face, show me someone who hasn't failed. But the key is learn from there's great lessons to be learned when you do fail that you can use going forward for your future successes.
Fantastic. Let's take a break, everybody. Just back in 1 minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
BubbleFast burst onto the e-commerce scene as a family-owned shipping supply provider back in 1999. The product line has grown, but Mark and Robin still own and operate BubbleFast as a family business. Being sellers themselves has taught them what online sellers need to safely and affordably deliver their products to their customers. BubbleFast is proud to be an active member of the community of online sellers. Mark and Robin sponsor seller meetup groups, share shipping tips and tricks through social media, and always love talking to customers and helping solve shipping challenges. Check out the website at bubblefast.com. Sign up for the Bubble Briefs newsletter to join the Bubble Fast family. Use promo code WMR to get a 5% discount, or call Mark and Robin at 877-599-7447. Happy shipping from Mark and Robin at Bubble Fast.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise. Content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Michael. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Right on. So, this difficult concept of believing that we can do better than we are right now, right? You know, how does one really have the courage and the energy to do that? Do we wake up one morning after we read your book and say, that's it, I can do better with my life, with my goals?
Well, you know, one of the things it takes to really excel and to really be successful is you have to take risk, and I call it manage risk. But what's interesting, when you talk to your peers and you talk to your family and you talk to the people around you, when you try to differentiate yourself by doing something that no one around you has done, you'll run into any number of naysayers that will try to convince you that you can't do it. And what they're really saying is not that you can't do it, but that they can't do it. And I really do believe that it's there's a 14-letter acronym. It's a 14 letters. Let me try that again. There is a saying that is 14 words that have two letters in each word, and it goes like this: if it is to be, it is up to me to go do it. Hmm. And that's become my personal mantra for life and living. And my children have also adopted that saying: if it is to be, it is up to me to go do it. And whenever you're facing a challenge and whenever you set a goal, it's up to you to go out and do it. You can't wait for someone else to light a fire under you. You have what it takes within you to accomplish any goal you set for your life if you're willing to apply yourself to achieve it. Hmm. Each and every one of us has a reason we were put on this planet, in my estimation. And it's up to each of us to figure out what that reason is and then go out and apply ourselves to achieve greatness. And each of us has that within us. And unfortunately, the naysayers along the way can often convince you that you need to remain a member of the average herd along with everyone else because you can't do it. But the reality is you can if you continue to believe.
Hmm. One interesting question is the following. If everyone gets out of the pack and gets out of the herd, then the herd doesn't exist anymore, and there's kind of a new herd in front of the herd.
That could be the case, but the reality is, look around us. Look at the people with whom you come in contact every day. If you work in a job or if you go to school, or look at the people that are around you, and how many of them truly are striving to be the very best. It's my contention: if you want to excel, you need to find mentors who are people who have already achieved what you're trying to achieve. Find people who are in that next group above you who can help pull you up to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I find myself these days, as I'm getting older, mentoring anyone who's interested in receiving mentorship from me. That's one of the reasons that I wrote this book. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I had many, many people who acted as mentors for me, and I listed them in the back of the book. And I also listed the lesson that they taught me. Hmm. And so I don't think that I wish that were the case, Byron. I wish that everyone would strive for excellence. Uh-huh. But the reality is, if you take 100 people, 3 to 5% of them are actually striving to achieve greatness. 95% are going through the motions of maintaining an average level of performance in the world. And it's partly the bell-shaped curve. I mean, that's the way the world works.
How many people do you think have mentors either in work, life, or even the sports that we casual sports that we play?
That's a great question. And I think that each of us has the potential to be a protege, but it's funny how many people are unwilling proteges. There are mentors out there that are ready, willing, and able to help us to learn from their lessons. And I know the most frustrating time for a parent is trying to mentor their own children. They'd be better off mentoring the neighbor's kids, because a lot of times our own children are the most difficult proteges we're ever going to try to develop. Mm-hmm. But all of us have mentors that are out there that can help us to move forward in our lives. The first and most important are our parents, our mother or father, who at the time they're teaching us, we don't view that as mentoring. But years later, I can tell you this, my mother and father were instrumental in the person I became today. But go back when I was a teenager, I didn't see it that way. But their influence was there, and there are many, many mentors. Some are older than me, some are younger than me, some are men, some are women, who deeply influenced my life and the direction it's taken. And each of us has people around us that can do the same for us.
Hmm. It seems to dwindle down. I mean, in the early stages of our life, we have parents, as you mentioned, you know, coaches, tutors, professors, perhaps, teachers. We have mentors on some capacity. But as we get in the professional world, it gets more difficult to find mentors. How can you go about finding mentors? And by the way, it seems to be that finding mentors is the way to achieve your goals when you higher your expectations. Is that correct?
I would say that's a true statement. I think the key is, and I'll use a business example, for those of you who are trying to move ahead in the business world or in the corporate world, I've always believed, and I wrote about this in the book, that if you want to truly move ahead in your organization, you need to make sure the person two levels above you in the organization, two levels above you, knows who you are and what you can do for the organization. Because the reality is, and I've had this experience myself in the corporate world, my boss, my direct supervisor, had a vested interest in keeping me right where I was in the organization.
Uh-huh.
And my current supervisor rarely had any authority for promoting me to his level. Uh-huh. It was his boss who could do that.
Uh-huh.
And so I encourage people to make sure that you take the time to get to know the person who is your boss's boss, because that's the individual that can select great people like you and move you up the organization and take you under their wing and provide mentorship.
Yeah. in a large company like Walmart, that can present its problems, don't you think, politically? I've seen this in the corporate structure numerous times where – you know, the CEO comes into a branch office and doesn't have lunch with the branch manager, but has lunch with maybe a lesser manager within that particular branch, and that's viewed as an insult to that branch manager. What's your take on that? as you do ask for that, something like that to happen, and did you see that at Walmart actually?
Well, I've seen that at PepsiCo, and I saw that at Walmart, and I saw that I worked at HR, at Waste Management, and American Eagle Outfitters, and you see that everywhere. But the reality is there is a risk involved, and you need to play your cards right. But there's only one person in your life that's truly going to look out for your interests, and you know who that is? It's you.
Yeah.
And you have to take the position, if you are aggressively trying to move up in your career and you want to achieve great things, 3, 5, 7, 10 years down the line, you have to look out for yourself. And that may mean trying to move up in your organization, or it may mean you have to move out to another organization that will recognize your abilities. Because the reality is that loyalty to organization, you know, employee loyalty is an oxymoron, and organizational loyalty to employees is the same. It is changed over the years, so you've got to look out for yourself. And are there risks with that strategy? Certainly there are. But if it is a problem in your organization, I challenge you and I say, is that a company I want to work for anyhow? I should have access to the opportunities to move up in this company, and I think an organization would look down upon me if I felt differently.
How do we deal with situations out of our control when it comes to expectations and achieving our higher level goals? How do you deal with those situations?
My belief is when you are part of high expectations is the whole goal setting process. You know, I think that you can't take a ready, shoot, aim approach to your life and your career. You have to have clear-cut goals. And I spell out a 5-step process that is in the book that you can follow that actually helps you to put a goal and a plan together to achieve your goals. And I did that as an example. In the book, I write about the fact that I wanted to have a great example to share about personal goal setting myself. So I set some weight loss goals while I was writing. And I made a New Year's resolution. That's the way I set my goal. But I made my New Year's resolution on September 1st to lose 50 pounds by January 1st. And in the book, I talk about how I went through the process over a period of 4 months to achieve a goal that most would say is impossible. How can you lose 50 pounds in 4 months? Well, I'm here to tell you, I did it. And since that time, I set a higher goal. And from January 1st until today, over the last 7 months, I lost an additional 30 pounds. I'm an individual who lost 80 pounds in approximately 11 months. And I did it by setting a goal, developing a plan, executing a strategy, tracking my performance, and ultimately achieving the goal. It can be done. Uh-huh. If someone said to you, you need to lose 30 pounds in the next 6 months, a lot of people would say, well, I can't do that. Well, no, you can't, because you believe you can't do it. If you have high expectations, you will not be denied. And I use that example not for just to, so it's a pretty incredible goal to have achieved, and I did it, but I did it by having high expectations.
Who do you want to get a hold of? First of all, Michael, I'm looking at some of the other books you've written, particularly The 10 Rules of Sam Walton. Really exciting stuff. You're quite a published author, but tell us a little bit about High Expectations Are the Key to Everything. Who do you want to get a hold of you that's listening into the show today, and what would you like to hear from them?
Well, when I originally sat down to write this book, and by the way, my co-author for the book was my wife, Cheryl, and the book is written around adversity. And the story behind it is that my wife, Cheryl, had a stroke in 2003, and she was in a coma, and she almost died. And as a result, she was paralyzed on the right side of her body. And it's 11 years later, and she still remains paralyzed. And it thrust me into a situation where not only was I now a provider, but I became a caregiver, and I became Mr. Mom. And I had to balance not one hat of being the great provider, but now I had to also look out for the needs of other people aggressively. And I believe that everybody that's out there listening faces adversity in their lives. And this book was written, it's not written to teach you how to bring out the best in others. We wrote it to show you how to bring out the best in you. And no matter what adversity you face, whether you've lost a job, whether you're unemployed, you're underemployed, you're unhappy in the work that you're doing, and you don't see light at the end of the tunnel, whether you have a disability or you have someone in your family with a problem, everybody has something, Cheryl would say. She just happens to have a stroke. And when she had that stroke, she showed me the most powerful, positive motivation example that I've ever experienced, and it drove me to higher levels of performance. I wrote my second book that I mentioned after she had her stroke, and she was the motivation behind me writing that book. She told me to go back home and write that book and take care of the children while she was in the hospital learning how to walk again. And so High Expectations Are the Key to Everything is based on life lessons that I learned and my family have learned the hard way, and that good things come out of bad situations. And in actuality, Byron, we view her affliction as a stroke of luck, because so many good things have come out in our lives as a result of her of that moment in time when she had that stroke.
So, Michael, in one final question, how was it writing the book with your wife?
It was a wonderful experience because she was. It was the first book that I had a chance to write. All my other books have been business related specifically, and related to retailing or and those types of topics. This is the first book that is about me and about my family and about us, my wife Cheryl, and it was a wonderful experience. And she actually was the impetus behind the writing of this book also, because she provided a signature story that I use in my speeches around the world. And it's a story of me taking her to China. And I took Cheryl to the Great Wall. And when we got to the bottom of the mountain, she was in a wheelchair because she can't walk long distances. And we ended up figuring out how to get Cheryl from the base of this mountain to onto the Great Wall. And it's a great story of overcoming adversity and reaching the summit, literally. Mm-hmm. And every one of your listeners has obstacles like that in their life, and they can do it too.
Hmm. What a great story, and it's just been great to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit about how people can get a hold of you.
Well, I have a website. It's www.michaelbergdahl.net. And I wrote another book that has 365 motivational quotes that are available for all of your listeners to receive. I actually have it set up so you can receive a quote a day every day of the year that I wrote about high expectations. And at that link, you'll also see the book and where you can get the book, High Expectations Are the Key to Everything. And and if any of your listeners are in businesses that need a motivational speaker or a speaker on topics of human resources or of leadership or competition, I could be their man.
Really appreciate you having been on the show today. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you so much. Have a great
right
day.
On. You too. Until next week, everybody, hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, and your expectations are higher than a kite. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.